Greetings, my brothers and sisters, in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. We begin our thought this morning on Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." We see in the scripture that the Lord created man to live in relationships. In relationships, Adam would find his purpose and fulfill his commission. In Genesis 3 and verse 9, "And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Where art thou?" speaks of relationship. The Lord would ask the question to Adam, what happened to our relationship? The question that we want to ask ourselves this week is, how is my relationship with the Lord? And what we're going to look at today is, how is my relationship with others? A simple thought that I'm sharing this week, but there is an importance to it. The scriptures declare, what value is there in knowing the great mysteries of the Bible and not having love? I would ask this question, what value is there in knowing about seals and church ages and even the revelation of Jesus Christ, and yet our relationships are corrupted with people? And that's what we will look at today, our relationships with people. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 17, it says this, "But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth." Satan's goal is to bring division, to bring strife amongst the people of God. God's will at times may be separation. But we see in Abraham's relationship with Lot that although separated, Abraham still loved Lot. Satan knows that when we are divided, our effectiveness in fulfilling our commission is weakened and our witness is compromised. The enemy seeks to create divisions. We will look through the progression of a natural relationship today, and then tomorrow, Lord willing, we will speak on spiritual relationships. As I thought back upon my own life, we realize we begin just as a child, and the Lord brings us into the world. We start out as a son or a daughter. It is God's commission to mankind to bring forth children through a birth. He creates a new child, or a son or a daughter. In Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 1, we'll read, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." God's desire is that children would honor their parents. The commandment with promise, that he would bless us with long life if we would do this. This is a relationship that was to be honored. And this is key in understanding this relationship. It is a relationship based on position, not merit. We see this principle in David in his conduct towards Saul. Saul was given over into an evil spirit, yet David continued to honor Saul's position. This is what God would ask for us to do with our parents. Maybe we don't have good parents, or maybe our parents didn't do a very good job in their conduct and raising us and things like this, but still we are to honor them because they were the vessel that God chose to bring about our upbringing in this world. So because of the position, not actually because of their merit, we need to honor them. We need to show respect and compassion, even if they don't seem worthy, because of what the position God has placed them. In society, they talk about a generation gap, but really what they're saying is there is a rebellion. There is a loss of respect from one generation to the next. The second point is that we are brought into a family. Not only do we have a mother and a father, but many times we will have brothers and sisters. We read the scripture where Cain asked the question, "Am I my brother's keeper?" The answer to that question is yes. We are interconnected. In Psalms 133 and verse 1, the Lord said this, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." We can talk about this in the spiritual realm, but also in a family relationship. I see many families that they just cannot get along. It seems like there's constant warfare and bittering and murmuring and complaining. I am thankful in my family that my brothers and sisters, even though we have diverse ideas on things and in our walk with the Lord is different, at least we can be kind to one another and we can get along. A family is a guard against selfishness. Myself, I had three brothers and three sisters, and it teaches you that in the family, it's not all about you. It's about others and their desires also. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9, it says this, "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he has not another to help him up." There's a great thought there that there is value in relationship because one is able to strengthen another to lift us up. I remember many years ago, Brother Stewart was the pastor of the church in Bloomington, and I was helping him out in the ministry. And a prophecy came forth, and in the prophecy, the Lord mentioned the two of us, and it said that whether one of you are weak, I will make the other strong. I really like that concept that the Lord is showing us, that there are things, there are strengths that we have, and there are weaknesses. But when he brings us together with someone, the two together are much stronger than two separate. It goes on to say this, again, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? As I read this scripture, I often think back to this time when I was just a young boy. Some people in the warmer parts of Africa may not understand this, but we were in a winter storm, a lot of snow on the ground, below freezing temperatures at home, and we lost our power, so there was no heat in the house. In the middle of the night, by the middle of the night, it was really cold in the house, and I was laying in one bed, and my brother was laying in the other bed, and I heard my brother call my name in the middle of the night, and I answered, and he asked me, "Are you cold?" I said, "Oh, I'm freezing." He said, "I got an idea." He said, "Why don't you come sleep with me?" He said, "We will be able to keep each other warm." At that time in our youth, we did a lot of fighting, but he could see that there was value in the two of us being together. And this is what the scripture is telling us. If you lie together, your body warmth will bring warmth to the other. Verse 12 says this, "If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." As we continue on in our life's journey, I had the third point, and I just wrote down that we become citizens. We become members of society. We start to realize that the relationships go beyond just the relationships between parents and children and brothers and sisters. We start to go out into society, we go to school, we have friends, and we realize that God is also watching those relationships. The scripture says this, "I am in this world, even though I'm not of it." The Lord said that his prayer for us was that God would keep us from the world, the evil of this world, but that he would keep us in this world. There is a purpose for this being there. And God is concerned about my interactions with others. He mentions in the scripture that we are to love our enemies, that we are to love strangers. He tells us that anyone can love their loved ones. But when people are different from us and we go out into society and there's not that close connection, that there still is a relationship that he expects us to honor when we deal with other people. Because these people, each and every one of them, are made in the image of God. Many times we talk about moving under inspiration, how the gifts of the Spirit and God will lead our lives and give us dreams and visions and speak to our hearts. But I think this, sometimes we focus too much on moving under inspiration when we need to move under instruction. God instructs us to be kind, to be compassionate, to love. And this is not only for the people in our closest groups, our family, our community, but to people in the world. They asked the Lord a question one time, who is my neighbor? Because the Lord told them that they would need to love their neighbor. And he gave the story of the Good Samaritan. A Samaritan was not very well thought of amongst the Jewish community, but he showed him something. It's not the people that we're the closest to, but it's the people outside of our circle that he's watching our reaction to, and we're going to stand accountable to God. What is our relationship with the world? Can we truly say that we love our enemies? Sounds like quite a responsibility that's given to us, but God would not ask it of us if it's not possible. So what does the Lord expect of our relationships with people outside of our group? And how does that interaction between us and the world influence our spiritual walk before God? In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, it says this, therefore all things whatsoever you would that man should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. It's called the golden rule. Do unto others as they would do, as you would have them do unto you. Once more, it's talking about relationships. We're not in this world as an island. There is an interconnection between us family, us church, but us in society. The fourth part, it's marriage. Man and women, two shall become one. Outside of surrendering your heart unto the Lord, it is probably the biggest decision that you will make in your life. The interesting point is, you will probably make it in your youth, before you have the advantage of years of wisdom and understanding. As you're brought into this relationship, God expects you to honor it. To man, he asks you to love and nourish and cherish your wives. He asks you to rule your house, your family. There is an authority that's given, but he would ask that you would not abuse that authority. To the woman, he would ask that they would submit themselves unto their husbands. The closest relationship outside of our relationship with the Lord is the relationship when a husband and wife, the two would become one. The problem is the human heart is naturally selfish. The greatest joys may be found in this becoming one, but also the greatest struggles, requiring a laying down of oneself in love to another. And we understand this, the greater the love, the greater the potential for pain. In 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse 7, it says this, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. And then this is a very important part, that your prayers be not hindered. People that are married, they understand this. When there is friction within the household, it has a negative impact upon our spiritual walk. I think this, the scripture declares when there's friction, division between husbands and wife, spirituality is affected. But I don't think this is the only impact like that. Children and parents and brothers and sisters and even you in society, when there is division and strife and envy and discord, these things don't stay in the natural realm. They also have an impact upon our spiritual walk before the Lord. The scripture declares this in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. God gives a man and a woman this relationship to honor one another, and in honoring one another, they bring honor unto the other one. The fifth part of parents, fathers, mothers, to experience the Creator. When you hold your child the first time you become a parent, it opens up a whole new understanding of God so loved the world. It makes you understand a father's love, the value of a child. It brings a relationship that demands responsibility. Great joy, but great responsibility. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, it says in verse 18, therefore shall you lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house, and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied in days of your children, in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. The Lord has brought us into a relationship with children that we may instill into them what God has instilled in us, that we can pass it on to another generation. Children, they will have a conscience of a knowing of right and wrong and good and acceptable and righteous and unrighteous, and in these things, much of that will come from their parents, their instruction, their exampleship, and what God has done is he's entrusted a life unto you and asked that you would share with them. There is a scripture in Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 4, and it says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It is a balance to discipline and to love and to encourage your children and not to discourage. You're given a tremendous power to have an impact upon their life. Time's getting away from me already. We're trying to keep it condensed a little bit, but one more relationship is Proverbs 17:6, and this is the New Living Translation. Grandchildren are the crowning glory of the aged. And then Proverbs 13 and verse 22, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. To the ones that have grandchildren, you'll understand with me that there is nothing quite like it. It recaptures your youth, and it brings a joy. It brings a connection, and it's hard to even describe this relationship. The most valuable thing you can leave your grandchildren, an inheritance. is for them to know of your walk with the Lord. For them, when we're gone, to know that we are secure in Christ Jesus. What a blessing that we can leave to our children and our children's children. Much more could be said. Kind of hurried through this, but much to be said in a little bit of time. I pray that it would bless you as you think upon these things and your relationships in this world that God has given you. Give you something to ponder upon today, and we look forward to going a little bit deeper into this thought tomorrow. May God bless you. Appreciate everyone that would take the time to listen. God bless in the name of Jesus the Christ.